that I'm going to speak about the results of an impact evaluation of the Africa Youth Alliance in Ghana, Tanzania, and Uganda, and in particular, the implications for future youth programming based on the results that we found. Just before I start, I won't go through all of this, but want to thank the Gates Foundation for funding both the project and the evaluation. Our partners in country and headquarters that implemented the project, our advisory committee, and then of course the research organizations in country that did, you know, all the real work, and then our JSI team here listed there. So with AYA, you can go in so many directions. The program itself was really innovative. The evaluation methodology was also sort of cutting edge, and then each country tells its own story, male versus female tells. There's so much to do. So what I want to do is just give you a brief overview of AYA and then a quick description of how we did the evaluation and then move on to some interesting results. And I have some handouts that if you're interested you can take with you on the results, and then just finish by talking about what this means for future youth programming. So AYA was a program with UNFPA, PATH, and Pathfinder, and their goal was to improve ASRH in 4 African countries and to reduce the incidence and halt the spread of HIV/AIDS and STIs. And they worked over a 5-year period and had almost $60 million from the Gates Foundation to implement. And their target age was youth, so 10 to 24. And I see, I'm assuming most of you are came to this presentation because you're somewhat familiar with ASRH. So I won't go into a lot of detail on the 6 strategies, but what they did was worked from the premise that comprehensive multi-component programs were more effective than narrowly focused programs in reaching youth. And so what they did was take these 6 sort of state-of-the-art or what had already been sort of agreed upon in research to be key strategies for reaching youth, and they implemented them in coordination. So they worked at the policy and advocacy level. They ensured that youth-friendly services were available to youth. They had a life planning skills program for both in and out of school youth, a number of behavior change communication components, a one-on-one with peer education, small groups that work folk media, drama, some sports activities, and then mass social marketing campaigns. And they also worked through already existing organizations that were already doing youth programming, and so they worked to improve the institutional capacity and then also coordinated these efforts. So the idea was that if AYA was implementing these 6 sort of state-of-the-art practices in coordination, that we would really see evidence of the goal being reached. So JSI was not involved in the implementation of AYA at all, but was hired to conduct the impact evaluation. And so the question really was, was exposure to AYA supported integrated programs? Did that result in improved ASRH behavioral outcomes among people aged 17 to 22 in the areas where AYA concentrated their efforts? So in other words, was there a treatment effect was actually attributable to AYA? And in addition to looking at behavioral outcomes, we also did look at antecedents, so knowledge and attitudes. And so as you could see from that list before, not everything would be directly, youth wouldn't be directly touched by, let's say, policy advocacy or institutional capacity. But we did was measured exposure of the youth that were youth-friendly services, life planning skills, and the various behavior change communication campaigns. So the impact evaluation, the design and analysis, there were 4 countries. We ended up only working in 3 because Botswana had finished much earlier before, and we thought 2 years lag time was just really too long. Because of budget constraints, we ended up picking the respondents were 17 to 22, either unmarried or had just recently been married in the last 2 years. And that was because we couldn't do 10 to 24, that was really the age group that they that would have had the most exposure to Aya. And then because the baseline, there was baseline data collected, but it wasn't appropriate for this kind of evaluation, so it really was a post-test only design. And we used intervention control and also self-reported exposure approaches. And so the intervention control design was really looking at whether adolescent sexual behavior was more protective in Aya areas compared to areas that Aya did not work, because it did not work at a national level. And then the self-reported exposure was looking at youth that that reported being exposed to Aya, were they having, was that associated with safer sexual behavior than those who reported that did not report being exposed to Aya? And then analysis, propensity score matching, and instrumental variable approaches were used. And so that between the two designs and the two analyses, we kind of, triangulate, whatever that is for four. That's sort of what we did to come up with our results. And we worked from February to May of 2006. I mentioned some of the design constraints, and I don't want to spend too much time, but as you can imagine, if they're working with local organizations, attribution to Aya was really hard because they didn't really brand. And then the issue of just the recalling when it had already happened, the project had actually finished a year before we went in to do our evaluation. And so just quickly, sample size. So you'll see for Ghana and Uganda, we had a little over 3,000. Tanzania, we have almost 2,000. And that was based on sample size calculations and determined that the expected number of unmarried sexually active youth was lower in Tanzania than in the other countries. Okay, so now... So results, the interesting part of the presentation, and we will, again, I have handouts so that we'll hand out afterwards, but Aya did not work nationally, so in the areas where Aya intended to work, those that were considered highly exposed, so that was determined, we determined exposure by asking a series of questions depending on if they were from, depending on the country, about 12 activities per country. And if you were exposed to three or more, you were considered highly exposed to Aya. And so you'll see that it was all, except for in Tanzania, around the 40%. One thing to note, and just when we look at the results, keep in the back of your mind that males have slightly higher exposure to Aya in most of the countries than in the other, three. Okay, so here, antecedents. So what we did was we measured 7 antecedents, and there's not enough time to go over all of them, and that's why I have the handouts, but I just want to highlight the overarching trends. And first I should say, okay, if it's green and says positive, that means there was a positive impact that was directly attributable to Aya. If it's red and says negative, that means that there was a negative impact attributed to the program. And if it's nothing, it wasn't attributed to Aya, but I should say, particularly in the antecedents, levels were already really high. So, you know, high knowledge score prompted response is already in the 90s, so the fact that you can't, it would be really hard to make the difference and make it attributable to Aya, and that will be evident in the handouts. But just so... the trends were that spontaneous HIV knowledge in all countries, Aya had an impact. Also in attitudes towards condom users. But there were also several unanswered questions that prompted knowledge, and also the negotiating condom use was, you know, positive in Tanzania and Ghana, but then not, and negative in Uganda, and sort of what does that mean? And then here's the behavioral outcomes. And I have to say, the team, before we got the results, assumed we would see more impact on antecedents thinking those would be easier to change than actual behaviors, and that was not the case, especially with females. So you see that on almost all of the indicators, females in particular have a real positive impact attributable to Aya. And then with Tanzania, some with the men as well. Do you want to call attention to the first two variables, delay of sexual onset and abstaining from sex, either no impact, except for Ghana, or negative impact, and that's a little controversial at for programmers at times. So I basically said this before, but really Aya had a real impact on method use indicators, particularly for women. And there's really some questions left to be answered for males and why there was such little impact there. But I should say, and the problem with those kinds of graphs is it doesn't tell the whole story. The male levels were already pretty high. So it's not like the men were left behind. It's more like Aya helped them catch up. So that's something that can be that should be kept in mind, and that it's always dangerous to just show, you know, the graphs in that way. And then, you know, we could talk a little bit more about sexual debut and abstinence, but part of it could be, you know, the age range, 17 to 22. These kinds of indicators really require societal transformation, and four years of implementation really may not be enough. So overall, we felt like JSI concluded that there was strong evidence that a program like Aya had positive treatment effects on several variables. And just like I said before, the antecedents, you know, both males and females, had an impact. And the ones where there was no impact, they already had really high levels. So this kind of indicates that youth in Aya areas are fairly prepared, at least intellectually, to have safe sex. And then the crowning achievement for Aya was really the method use indicators and the impact on females. And we do still need to think a little bit more about how we address males in youth programming. And also, of course, think a little bit more about these harder to address indicators like sexual debut and abstinence. No, one slide is missing. Well, I don't know where it went. But anyways, it was just a conclusion slide that, you know, we really think that this kind of model is something that really should be built upon and used for future youth programming, that this idea of using a whole bunch of ways to sort of get at youth is probably the way to go, but we really need to think a little bit more about males, and, you know, clearly they are reached in different ways because they were actually targeted by Aya in the same ways, and they had the same kind of level of exposure, but whether the uptake of the message seems to be something that we need to look at by gender. And then finally, lots more to think about in terms of sexual debut and abstinence. And we're almost done with the reports. They're at the publishers, but by the end of the month they will be on the JSI website, and you can also email me in PDF form. And they'll have, each country has a report, and then there's a synthesis report as well.